Open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And that's where we're going to be launching from this morning. Romans chapter 8. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord, and we're so thankful, Father, that you are an amazing God to us, Lord. It just never ceases to amaze us, Lord God, how much you care and love for us, how much you do for us, Lord. This morning, Father, I pray through the power of the Spirit of God that you'll get a hold of each of our lives, and Father, that this word would mean something to us this morning, Lord. As it goes forth with the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God, let it get into each of us, Father. I pray that your anointing would just open us up to receive it, Father. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Ah, wonderful. I don't even know how to start this morning because I really don't have an introduction. I just jumped right into the message in my notes. But nevertheless, let me ask you a question. How many of you, because I just want to make sure we're kind of all on the right page. Let's say in the last month, the last 30 days, let's say, how many of you can look back at those 24-hour time periods that kind of all blended together to make up the last month, and you can say that something really stunk as far as life is concerned? Come on, put your hands up. Now, if there's people that it didn't stink, I want to sit next to you next Sunday. Yeah. I mean, sometimes life has this this way of throwing these curveballs at us. Amen? I mean, I would love to go through life all the time singing zippity-doo-da, zippity-a, you know? I mean, just like a fairy tale down at Disneyland, you know, everything's happy and everything's wonderful down there, you know. It's always, you know, happily ever after kind of thing. But if you're like me, you live in the middle of life, amen? Sometimes people ask me, they say, Pastor, you know, this and this and this happened to me. You know, what's going on? Am I in sin? Am I, you know, is God punishing me? Is the devil on my back? And most of the time, I think so often we can look at it and say, no, it's just life. It's just life. Adam and Eve blew it a few years back, and they messed up the whole universe, for heaven's sake. I've messed up a few things in my life, but never the universe. Amen? Adam and Eve messed up the whole universe. And because of that, you and I live in this world that, for the most part, is cursed. Amen? And whenever bad things happen, let me just ask you, if any of you are kind of like me, you grumble about it. You're not? I'm a grumbler sometimes. I'm a grumbler. The other day I was talking to my wife on the phone. I was driving down the highway. I don't get on to me. I don't text because I don't know how to text. But nevertheless, I was driving down the road and there was a guy that was in front of me. And you know how it is around here. There's no passing zones everywhere. I grew up in New Mexico where if you want to pass somebody, you got about 40 miles to do it. Around here, man, they give you a passing zone that's about 8 feet long. You couldn't pass a peanut in that thing. He was driving like 10 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. And I was on the phone, I told her, and I said, oh, good grief. I said, some knucklehead is in front of me. I made sure that it wasn't anybody from this church before I called him a knucklehead. And they're driving like 10 miles an hour. And then they speed it up to 15. I'm thinking, oh, we're cruising now. I could have got out and gave my car a wash job on the way home. But you know what? I get to the turn where I'm turning off, and he turned off right in front of me, the same road. I had to follow him to my driveway. I was so I was murmuring and talking and muttering. And my wife is on the other end of the phone. She said, J.D., don't be so impatient. Don't you hate it whenever your wife plays the role of the Holy Spirit? I mean, though, come on, folks. There's times whenever our mouth opens up and we begin to spew out those things that are bad about our lives. Amen? I mean, if they're not bad about our lives, we can find things that aren't even associated with us to a certain degree. We can complain about the government. We can complain about the president. We can complain about how the weather is. Folks, don't complain about the weather. There's no sense in it. You can complain all day, but that's not going to change a thing. But this morning, my message is not about how bad it is. My message is actually about how good it is. I got to tell you, I think sometimes we lose focus on how good our lives really are. I mean, we all get all excited about looking forward to heaven. And man, I am looking forward to heaven. I got two bathrooms to paint, a washroom to paint, and I got to do a lot of drywall fixing. And I've been thinking, man, if I put that off another day, Jesus could come back and I would have... I'm thinking if I did it today, He could come back tomorrow and I would have wasted all of that time. Come on. It's not about... so much, we get excited about heaven and we get excited about the wonderful life we're going to live in heaven, and heaven is going to be awesome. Amen? Oh my goodness. Heaven is going to be awesome. Amen? Oh my God, I caught y'all sleeping there for a second. But I got to tell you, we have an awesome life here on this earth. I don't care what kind of hand you've been dealt. There's an awesome life that God has provided for us here on this earth. Open to Romans 8 and then verse 28. And we're going to read a few verses here. This is what it says. I'll be all right. It's Romans 8, 28 is where we're going to start. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these also justified. And whom He justified, these also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is it who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, oh, I love that word right there. Yet in all these things. Are you listening to this? This is a good one. We should have a drum roll right here. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whoo! Man, life is good. Come on now. Some of y'all ain't going to get this morning because you've made up your mind life isn't. I'm telling you, if you just open the door just a tiny bit, just a little squeak of a crack to the idea that life is good. See, sometimes I've run across people that are just born to be pessimistic. I called my parents on the phone yesterday because I'm a good son, and I called them just to talk to them. My dad answers the phone and I call him affectionately Papa-san. I said, hey, Papa-san. He said, JD? I said, yep. I said, how you doing, Dad? And I'm telling you, for the 15 minutes I had him on the phone, the guy said nothing at all that's positive. Now you have to understand, my dad's not a believer. So these scriptures right here, they've never got a hold of him. But he was just pessimistic. And I love my dad, but he just was pessimistic. I said, is Mom there? Let me talk to her. I talked to my mom for a little bit, and I got to be honest with you, the conversation I had with my mom was not that optimistic either. She has 60-some-odd cats, and she says, something's getting my cats. I think it's coyotes. I said, man, you should pay those coyotes for what they're doing for you. I can't believe he said that about a cat. I'm just telling you, my mom's got too many cats, man. Sometimes people can just be so pessimistic. But I want to tell you, as a believer, as a child of God, as a blood-bought, blood-washed child of the Most High God, there's no place in our lives to walk around thinking, man, God, this life is so bad. There's so many horrible things, God. So many things have befallen me. They've come right to my doorstep. We have no business doing that because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Man, life is good. Life is good. My father-in-law was an original cowboy. I have to tell you, you see cowboys on TV a lot. I have to tell you, my father-in-law was not like those cowboys on TV. He's a real one. I mean, whenever he was about 12 years old, he was saddling up a bunch of mules and taking them out into the desert of New Mexico and renting them out to oil drilling companies that pull these drilling rigs across the desert out there. And he was handling 10 or 12 mules by himself at like 12 years old to make money for his parents. He was a cowboy. I went with him one time to buy a horse. It was a paint horse. I don't know why he bought a paint horse, because paint horses are generally stupid. But he wanted to have a paint mule, and so he bought this paint mare, and he was dealing and wheeling with this guy, and he walked over this horse and pries the horse's mouth open, takes a big, long look, and he told me, he said, come here. He said, I'll show you how you can tell the age of a horse by looking at his teeth. You know how to tell the age of a human, right? Don't look at their teeth, because they'll bite you, but their driver's license is really the only way to get the honesty out of them. Since the horse doesn't have a driver's license, my father, when I pried his mouth open, looked at him, he was showing me all this. He said, see that tooth right there? Whenever it's wore that much, that horse is 6 years old. That's how old that horse was. He went to the guy and he says, how old's that horse? The guy says, 6 years old. I said, man, that is amazing, Charlie. He said, not only can you tell how old they are, but you can tell a lot of things from a horse. You can tell the health of that horse during the time that it's been alive by just looking at their mouth. Some of y'all are going, I thought we were talking about Scripture. Well, you know, you've heard the old saying, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. If somebody giving you a horse, don't walk over there and say, hey, this horse is 60 years old, it's almost dead. Don't do that. You can tell a lot by looking in the mouth of a horse. And I'll tell you this, you can tell a lot about people by looking into their mouth as well. If life is really so good in Jesus, then why so often do we have to talk so bad? I knew that and wouldn't fly. I'm going to erase that line right there. Don't say this next time. I mean, folks, there's not one thing in this word right here that tells us our life is rotten in Jesus Christ. It doesn't tell us anything about our life being negative in any way, shape, manner, or form. In fact, this Bible right here declares the exact opposite. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and life more abundantly. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I'm here to give you life. I'm telling you, if life in Jesus Christ is really as good as this book says it is, then why do we talk like it's so bad? I mean, I'm going to really not say that again, because it's not flying with y'all. See, why are His people so negative in the way that we speak? And folks, notice the way I said that. I said we, because I'm guilty of it sometimes. I can be negative, negative. I can be negative, negative. But I want to tell you, I have Jesus Christ in my heart. I know today if I was preaching hard and all of a sudden a blood vessel goes and I fall over dead on this platform, don't mourn for me, because I'm going to be standing in the presence of the Most High God. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. It is by faith that I have been saved. And I'm telling you, I got saved good. I know that. But there are times in my life whenever I am taken by negativity. There's things that encroach on my life that brings me to a place where I talk or I speak in a negative way. I just don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it through. Now, these are my words. I'm going under. I know I'm going under. There's no way this is ever going to work out. Ever, never, never, ever going to work out. It's impossible. There's no way. Do you know how many times I've said it's impossible? It's impossible. I've said that before. After I got born again, and after I read the scripture that there is nothing that is impossible with God. Oh, my goodness. See, what happens is there is a war going on in my head. If you could get real close to me and put your ear up, don't do that because that'd be creepy. But if you could put your head on my cranium, you could hear a battle going on. Kind of like the D-Day landing there at Normandy. I mean, there's machine guns going off and everything. And this battle is a battle of the mind. It's a battle of the mind. You see, because this is what happens. Negative thoughts produce negative words. And the enemy, with everything that is in him, I'm telling you, with every bit of his vim and vigor, with every trick that he has in his book, is trying to implant negative thoughts in my mind. He's trying to get those thoughts in my mind of, it's impossible. He's trying to get those thoughts in my mind. There's just no way this is ever going to work out. Never, ever. It's never going to work out. He's trying to get those in my mind because he knows that if he can get those thoughts in my mind, negative thoughts produce negative words. I'm telling you that we're like parrots to the devil. We say what he tells us to say. Okay, I'm probably going to have to erase this line for the next time I preach this message as well, but this is what I know. If there's negative words coming out of my mouth, perhaps even negative words that are coming out of your mouth, that is generally an indication of worry. The opposite is true as well. You see, if positive words are coming out of your mouth, it generally indicates faith. Come on now. You see, really, whenever you get it right down to the lowest common denominator, it's kind of like this. That's what worry is thinking negatively. Kids are so fun. I miss having little kids, and it's cool that God has prepared grandchildren because you can still have fun at Christmas. Because whenever they get above a certain age, it's just no fun anymore, you know? It's just no fun. But you know how kids on Christmas Eve or, you know, whenever it is that you're going to open your presents the night before, you know, they just lay in bed all night and they just think positive thoughts. You know, I just know Mom and Dad got me this. I just know it. I know it's in that package of the tree. I know I'm going to get it. Oh, it's going to be so awesome. I got a 3-pack of underwear. It's great. Well, that's what I always wanted. You see, that's the opposite of worry. But how many of us adults are oftentimes in our beds doing just the opposite of that? Instead of thinking positively, we're thinking negatively. We're thinking every kind of scenario that you can possibly concoct in our brain. We're thinking that about a situation that's coming up tomorrow. I can remember one time being notified by my boss whenever I left the mines on 3 o'clock. So in other words, I left at 11 o'clock and my boss steps up and he goes, "Hey, Jim Ryan wants to see you in his office tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Jim Ryan was the mine superintendent. He was the big honcho. Scared the liver out of me, man. I thought of all the things that I had done that I thought I hadn't got caught at, that Jim was going to bring up whenever I got to his office the next morning. And I'll be very honest with you. I lay in bed awake almost the entire night. I didn't get home till after midnight. I had to get up the next morning at like 5 o'clock to make the 7 o'clock meeting with Jim Ryan. I stayed awake. I mean, I was worried sick. I get to the mine the next morning. He sits me down and he goes, I tell you what I've been wanting to talk to you about. And I mean, I'm like, my heart is pounding out of my chest. He says, we'd like to give you a promotion. I go, oh, he didn't catch me. Yes. So all night long, I thought negatively whenever the reality of the situation was, it was positive. I quit and went into the ministry before I got that promotion, but nevertheless, it was a positive thing, and all night I had worried it was going to be negative. Some of y'all are looking at me like, I have never, ever done anything like that. And I don't tell lies either. You see, what happens, whenever we lie down at night in bed, we ought to take a hold of the faith that God so wants us to have, because faith helps us think positively. See, faith helps us to win this battle that's going on in our head. In other words, I can do it through Him. I can do it through Him. I will make it through because of whose I am. I belong to the Most High God. And bless God, I'm going through. I remember calling somebody on the phone. It was an evangelist. It was whenever I got a hold of him on the phone, I got to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever talked to anybody on the phone that was more positive in my life. But he was positive in the Word of God. He had so many quotes out of the book, and everything he said was positive because of what the Word says. He would quote a scripture, and then he would make a positive comment out of it. And I'm sitting there going, is this guy for real? And I got to thinking, he's just probably a big fakey-wakey kind of guy. And it really turned me off. And so finally, whenever I hung up the phone, I thought, there is no way I would ever have you at my church. That was just all fake. A couple of days went by, and the Lord would not let me go. He said, you need to bring him and have him here at the church. And I just, with everything that... And then I met this guy, and I found out he was for real. That he walked in that positive thought and that positive speech every day. God really used him. God really ministered through his life. Folks, we need to be people that think positively, speak positively. We need to discern people that are around us, because I want to tell you something, we can run with the wrong crowd and they'll bring you down. In Matthew chapter 12, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we've got to be individuals that learn how to discern what's in the hearts of individuals. We got to learn to put in our own hearts what it is that we need to be speaking. We have to learn to discern. We have to have in our own hearts what God wants us to have there. Let me just tell you something. I don't believe there is any room in the kingdom of God for negative thoughts. Come on now. I'm just preaching good here, and half of y'all aren't even recognizing it. I don't believe there's any place in the kingdom of God for negative thoughts. Jesus gave his life so that you and I could have positive thoughts, so that you and I could be positive thinkers. I'm going to tell you something. In this world that's approaching 8 billion people very quickly, there are enough negative thinkers out there. There's enough to go around. There's enough that you could take a whole busload of home with you today as you go home from church. But I got to tell you, few and far between are people who have positive thought processes going on in their minds. No matter what calamity they might be facing, man, they say, in Christ Jesus, I'll get through it. You watch me. I'm going to come out better for it, because God has made these incredible promises to me. He says, I'll make all things work together for your good if you love me and are called according to my purpose. He says, anything that comes to you, I'll make it benefit you in the end. Not very many warranties on appliances like that, let me just tell you. No room, because Jesus has given his life for us. See, Jesus gave his life so that you and I could have it all the proverbial all word. We can have it all. Y'all realize that? That's like having cake and getting your ice cream too. Come on. Now that perked a few of you up. Taking ice cream, I'm in. I mean, God says we can have it all. This book right here says we can have it all. But we got to learn how to think positive. We got to learn how to think with faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Do you know Job? You know, this amazing man in the Old Testament that, you know, all of these things befell him. The enemy sifted him, took everything from him but his own life. And we know that in the latter years of Job, the Bible tells us that God gave to him so much that he actually exceeded what he had before he lost it all. But you know, there's an amazing story in the book of Job that many of us overlook. But the Bible says what Job feared, what Job dreaded, ultimately came upon him. So in other words, Job wasn't a very good positive thinker. He feared it. He dreaded it. It's just like, folks, I got to tell you something. I got to slap myself in the face every once in a while worrying about health problems of all different sorts. Because it doesn't make any difference. You can't eat or touch anything anymore unless you get cancer from it. Seriously. You can't eat or touch anything. Years ago, people said, no, eat this because that's bad. Eat this over here. And now they said, don't eat that. You can go back and eat some of this, just a little bit of it. Because that thing we told you 20 years ago, it killed 5 or 8 people. I don't remember. Every once in a while, I think, man, I go, oh, that's probably cancer. And then I have to slap myself. Come on now, some of y'all look at me. Folks, there is so many scares out there. You know, you go, oh my goodness, I ate some of that. I ate some of that this morning. Oh my goodness, I got to need to go throw up. Throwing up will make you have cancer too. There's just so many things, and we got to think positively. We got to bless that food. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless this to the nourishment of our bodies. Don't just go through some ritual on your meals. Man, pray and say, God, everything gives me cancer, so you're going to have to bless this. Because I'm going to tell you something. As you think, that's the way you will be. And if you stand around thinking, man, I'm going to have cancer. My uncle had cancer. My aunt has cancer. My dad had heart disease, so on and so forth. You're probably going to end up with it. But if you say, in Jesus' name, I've had a blood transfusion. Hallelujah. I've got a whole new blood that's flowing from my veins. I've been adopted into the family of God. And I want to tell you something. My father doesn't have any health issues in Jesus' name. My father can eat all the bacon he wants, and it ain't going to hurt him. You don't think there's going to be bacon in heaven? Bacon and Mexican food, I'm telling you, y'all are going to get up there and go, he was right! In fact, I think there may be bacon in Mexican food there, because it's just going to be heaven. It's going to be good. But this is it. You and I have to make a choice of what kind of person that we're going to be. A person of worry, a person of negative thoughts, a person of negative words, or a person of faith, a person of positive thoughts, a person of positive words. I've told this story many times, but I want to tell you, children can teach you lessons. Caleb, whenever he was about 2 years old, he had just started, you know, in fact, he was probably a little bit younger than that. I don't think he had reached 2 years old yet. He was getting dressed one Sunday morning before church, and he was doing his best to get dressed. No help from his brothers or sisters, mom and dad. He'd got his britches on, got his shoes and socks on, got his shirt on, and he was weaving his belt so carefully through every one of his belt loops. And he was having an enormous struggle. Couldn't get him through. And so we offered to help him. I think it was his mom that kind of said, come here, hon, let me help you with that. I'll help you get that belt through. And he just kind of took a step back and he says, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now ask me if we tried to help him with that belt ever again in his whole life. No. He got it too in Jesus' name. I backed up and I said, Father, I don't know, man. His dexterity is not as good as it needs to be. But Father, some way or another, you weave that belt through those belt loops. Get them all too, because I want them all to be laced up. And he had them all by the end of the time. We brought him to church. And I'm telling you, that story has just stuck with me over the years. Because that's the way our heart should think. Man, there's nothing that I cannot do in Christ Jesus. He is the King of the universe. And he lives inside of me. But you know, one of the problems that I have, and maybe some of y'all can identify with this, sometimes I have this uncanny knack of taking thoughts and dealing with thoughts that I shouldn't take. In Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you should put on it. Jesus says, take no thought. In other words, he's telling us, hey guys, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Take no thought. In other words, whenever you're standing there and you just say, man, I don't know where my next meal is coming from, God says, don't even do that. Because he says, as he goes through the scripture, he says, hey, I know already that you need to have food. I know already that you need to have raiment. He says, man, I've clothed the lily of the valleys, and in his splendor, Solomon was not even arrayed like those lilies were. He said, all these birds, you know the birds that fly around? They don't go eat at fats. They don't have a job where they can go earn money and buy bird seed at Walmart. They use me to do that. We're starting to buy bird feed at our house by the truckload, semi-load, just come and dump it right there on our driveway. See, the Bible says, man, birds of the field, he feeds them. God feeds them. He provides for them. So he says to us as human beings, he says, don't take any thought about it. I know you already got needs. And I will take care of those needs. Don't even worry about it. Don't even give it a thought. But I got to be honest with you, there's times in my life where I have given it more than a thought. I've given it a worry. In fact, I've cranked up a full-forced, supercharged worry about where our next meal was going to come from. Because I took a thought. You know that thought of, we may not have anything to eat. You know the Bible says that his children will never be found begging for bread. A story was told about a young minister and his wife and his family that moved into a situation where he was a bivocational pastor. The church, seriously, they just couldn't afford anything to pay him, but he was trying to work part-time, and they had come to a place where they absolutely did not have any funds to buy food. No funds. Their cupboards were completely empty. And the pastor saying, Lord, you know, what do we do? The Lord said, sit down at the table and pray over your food. There's not any. Just do it. So he gathered his family around, sat down around the table. They joined hands and they began to pray over their food. Even though there was nothing on the table, there was nothing in the stove, there was nothing in the refrigerator, you follow me, there was nothing there. And right in the middle of that prayer, there came a knock on the door. It was a neighbor lady who lived a couple of doors down, and she says, listen, man, I hate to even do this, but she said, I've made spaghetti tonight for supper. And this pot just grew and grew and grew. I have enough spaghetti to feed half the neighborhood. Would you mind taking some of it off of my hands? So that family enjoyed a meal provided by the neighbor down the street. Folks, are you following me? Take no thought. You and I have a choice whenever these thoughts come into our mind. Is it a health problem? Is it a financial issue? Is it a problem with your family and the relationships that are therein? Is it a problem in your spiritual walk? What is it? The Bible tells us we have a choice whether or not to take the thought. And I'll be very honest with you. Most of the thoughts that are floating around out there, I don't want anything to do with them. They're negative. All you have to do is watch the news, read a newspaper, surf the internet on news sites, and in just a matter of moments, you'll get a barrage of negativity that just flows into you. We've got to learn how to either take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. You know, caller ID has really messed my life up. I used to be able to call my parents, which they didn't have caller ID, and play practical jokes on them. I called my mom one time and told her that I was so-and-so from the Internal Revenue Service. And I said, we're going to have to audit you because we believe that there's some inconsistencies on your tax returns for the past 5 years. And she goes, well, I don't think so, sir. You know, I think we've been very honest with what. And I said, well, most people say that, but whenever I come, they're usually lying through their teeth. Well, we're not lying. Well, ma'am, you say that now, but I can guarantee you, I can prove you've cheated on your taxes. And I mean, I have my voice disguised, and I mean, she is just panicking. I hung up the phone, and I left her thinking the IRS was coming to her house. 2 days later, I called her back and told her, I said, hey, Mom, I heard you were going to have an audit, Internal Revenue Service. And she said, well, how'd you hear that? And I said, my brother told me. She caught me. I called him one night, and you remember the little Taco Bell commercial, you know, the little chihuahua that would... He called in the middle of the night and said, put cheddar cheese on your chalupa. I just called my mom and I said, hey, put cheddar cheese on your chalupa. And she says, what? I said, put cheddar cheese on your chalupa. She handed the phone to my dad, didn't know it was in my dad's hands. And I'm saying, put cheddar cheese on your chalupa. And my dad cussed me out on the phone. I just hung up. I've never told them that was me. But now with the advent of caller ID, you know who's calling before you answer the phone. In fact, most of the time my dad is saying, it's JD before he ever even answers. I mean, yeah. Caller ID has ruined some of the funnest times I've ever had in my life. But see, it's kind of like this. Our thoughts need to kind of be like caller ID. Come on. Because you know every once in a while, whenever I call you, you go, oh, it's just the pastor. Don't answer it. He probably wants something. I feel sorry for poor Nathan. Here, just a few days, and I mean, you're already doing it to him too. Yeah, you know who's guilty too. Some of y'all out there going, I did it. But you've been there whenever somebody calls and you look on it and it's your kid and you go, nah, I really don't want to talk. Just let it ring. Don't answer it. See, that's the way it ought to be with a negative thought. That negative thought comes into our minds and we just say, I'm not going to respond to that. Yeah, there's all these possibilities, but in Christ Jesus, I'm different because I am more than a conqueror through him. See, it's like this. Learn to answer the phone whenever there's a positive. Learn to leave the phone alone whenever there's a negative. And I know some of you are looking at me and saying, that's so juvenile. But folks, I have to tell you, that's the way the battle is won. That's how you and I walk around with a positive outlook on life. That's how positive things that are in our heart flow out of our mouths. That's how you and I walk as God has intended for us to walk. And they say, well, that's just so hard, not answering the phone whenever there's a negative thought. That's one way of not taking them. But you know another way of not taking them is to have a lot of extra thoughts on your bench. You know how a basketball team does? They have their starting five, which generally the best shooters and the best guards and the best rebounders, they're all out on the floor. But then they've got a bench. And see, now, whenever I played basketball in high school, I was part of the bench. I was the part of the bench that they never went to. I just suited out and would sit there and keep up with the score. We're winning. Thanks. And we're losing now. Thanks. I'm just not inclined towards sports. I'm really not inclined to much, but nevertheless, a basketball team that does a lot of winning, you know what they have? They have a deep bench. They have a whole lot of people on their bench that they can go to at any given point in the game, and they can put them in, and they come in, and they function just like one of the starters. And this is it. If we got negative thoughts coming into our minds, what we need to do is call a thought off the bench. Like a negative thought comes into your mind. You got 3 cents in your checkbook and you're going to go under financially. You're just not making enough money in your job to provide for your family. Negative thought. I'm going to call somebody off the bench. Come on, bench. Provide me with somebody. Somebody runs in the game and says, hey, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Hallelujah. And if that thought just keeps getting you, what you do is you call somebody in off the bench, another person off the bench. They run in and they say, wait a minute. He'll give to you pressed down, shaken together, running over. He will give into your bosom. Holy moly. Are you following what I'm saying? One after another, till finally the enemy goes, oh man, how many scriptures does they know? And he goes on down the road. See, my question to you is, how deep is your bench? How deep can you go? How many times can the enemy throw a thought at you and you bring somebody in off the bench? Come on now. Let me tell you something about our adversary, the devil. He has been at this game for a very long time. Do you know that there's been pessimistic people even before you were born? That could sound really bad. Never mind, y'all will get that in a minute. Satan's been at it for a long time. It's his job to bring about negative thoughts and words and get it inside of people. But the Bible says in James chapter 4, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, that's the advantage of bringing in the bench. Bringing in the bench. Getting those positive thoughts in you. This Bible right here tells us that you and I can walk in victory. In victory. It doesn't mean the bad things aren't going to come our way. But I'll tell you, whenever those bad things come my way, I have Jesus Christ. I have the creator of this universe that has made me promise after promise after promise that he'll take care of me, that he'll guide me, that he'll comfort me, he'll strengthen me, he'll give me wisdom. He has given me everything that I need. So we have to resist the enemy. Resist the enemy. We've got to have a deep bench. Whenever he gives you a thought, you've got to send that player in from the bench. Because bottom line, folks, is there's no place for negativity in the kingdom of God. And some of y'all say, Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through. No, I really don't. I really don't. And you may say, well, you know, what I'm going through is, it's just so enormously difficult. And again, I say to you, I'll agree with that. I'm going to tell you something. It's not any fun to have somebody sick in your house. I mean, Fred and I have kind of a kindred spirit with one another because his wife is sick all the time. A lot of time my kids call and they say, how you feeling, Mom? And whenever she says, oh, I'm okay, they get upset at her and they go, why don't you just tell the truth? If my wife told the truth, she'd say, I'm sick all the time. There's never a moment whenever I feel good. Because it's a stupid disease that has attacked her physical body. And I can tell you, that it's not fun to go through that with an individual that you love, that you cherish. But I will tell you this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can tell you it doesn't make any difference what he throws at the health of my wife. Jesus Christ stopped along the way and took stripes on his back for the healing of our physical bodies. The Bible tells us that he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And whenever the medical community says, man, there's nothing we can do for this disease, I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says all things are possible to those who believe. The enemy wants us negative. God has sent his son to die for us so we can remain positive. I'm not positive about the sickness, for goodness sake. I'm not a team member of the sickness, but I'm positive about the Jesus that lives on the inside of me. I'm positive about the Jesus that lives on the inside of my wife. I'm positive about all the promises that are in this book that pertains to my family. I am positive because of that. And now this morning I got to tell you that I'm preaching this word primarily to myself, because there's days that go by that I'll tell you that I'm less than positive. But there's no room in my life for negativity, because I am a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High God. And every one of these promises, the Bible says, are yes and amen to those who believe. They're all mine in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you something else. There's always somebody out there that's got it worse than you do. Always. Always. Always somebody out there has it worse than you do. I've got a real simple kind of formula that I walk out every day in my life. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean walk it out? I try to live this. Whenever I get up in the morning, this is what I do. I first and foremost thank God for all of the blessings in my life. Secondly, I say, God, you owe me a miracle. I need a miracle in my wife's health. And thirdly, I say, God, I've got quite a few more hours before I lay my head down on this pillow and go to sleep. And I need strength for the day that I'm fixing to go through. I need your strength and your ability. I need your love. I need your tenderness and your mercy to flow into me that I can make it today. It's a very, very simple formula, but I got to be honest with you, it works very well. And as long as I can stay on even keel and decide not to take those thoughts that might be coming into my mind, just read the caller ID and say, that's negative, I'm not going to take it. And if it persists, I'll just bring somebody in off the bench. If I can do that, then you guys will have a positive pastor. And this is what I think. I think you need a positive pastor. But I'd sure like to have a positive congregation too. And I think where that goes is, I think God really needs a positive people. There is so much more to be positive in this book for than what the world can throw at us. Amen. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this. Father, this morning, I just really sense that this word strikes at so many of our hearts. Because, Lord, this is what I know. It is incredibly easy to look at this life that we're living and be discouraged. There are so many things, Lord, that it just seems to not go our way. But, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, help us to know that the reality of a child of the Most High God, someone that is blood-bought, that is blood-washed, that is born of the Spirit of the living God. The reality, oh God, is that life is good. Oh, life is good. Life is good. It's good. It's so good. Because we have you. We got all of your fantastic promises. And we have become the seed of Abraham. We have become a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We have been bought
with a price.